Part 2. For us. It is interesting to me to look back upon my writings from many years ago. I often cringe at my conclusions, believing that I know better now and that I've come to a clearer view of whatever situation I must confront, a clearer understanding of the best likely resolution. Oh, I see the same intent, the same hoped-for conclusion in those old writings. But there are little mistakes scattered throughout, and they are now obvious to me. Wisdom is a word often associated with experience. Perhaps it should also be spoken of in conjunction with the word humility, because I now understand that if I look back upon this piece in a decade or a century, I will likely once again find much to correct. The other thing that strikes me about these glimpses into the past is the cyclical nature of life, not just regarding birth and death, but in the many joys and crises that find us year after year. There is an old drow saying, Avatil natha pasaisen, jacques po finud ebris herm. History is a poem where all lines rhyme. How true. To simply view the conflicts that my friends and I have faced is to see new threats that sound very much like the old. Even the great tragedies and joys of our companionship follow predictable patterns to one who has lived them again and again. Paradigms often seem broken, but the nature of reasoning beings will someday reinstate them. In this one manner, perhaps Loth is no fool. Or perhaps she is the greatest fool. Chaos brings excitement to her followers. They feel alive. But in the end, they will go right back to where they were before. The rank of a house might change. A nearby foe might be vanquished. A new spell created to darken the skies. But a person traveling to Menzo Barons on today would see a place that rhymes quite closely with the city I first glimpsed from a cradle. Is it any different with Waterdeep? For yes, some civilizations will be wiped away by conquerors. Some will be flattened by volcanoes. Great drought will displace entire cultures, and massive ocean waves might sweep others to the silence of the seafloor. But the circle of life continues. The greed and the generosity remain. The love and the hate remain. The mercy and the vengeance remain. All of these countervailing, endlessly competing facets of humans and dwarves and elves and halflings and gnomes and every other reasoning race remain and battle. And the winner is always in jeopardy. And the result is so common either way that there is, overall, stasis within the swirl of chaos. When I told this to Brunner, he replied that I was dark and more than skin. Reached behind his shield and handed me a drink. But no, it is not a dispiriting thought, nor one that implies helplessness in the face of fate and predetermination. Because this too I know. While we move in circles, we still move forward. Like my own maturation in looking at my past writing, the culture is mature. To a visitor today, Menzo Barenzon would look very much as it did to me when I first peeked out from House de Werden, but not exactly the same. The times grow less dark for all the races, because within the culture, too, is memory, an understanding of what works and what does not. When those lessons are forgotten, the circle winds its way backward, and when they are remembered, society moves forward, and with each cycle, with each affirmation of that which is good and that which is evil, the starting point of the next lesson is a bit closer to goodness. It is a long roll, this circle, but it is rolling in the direction of justice and goodness for all of us. It is not hard to look back on history and see atrocities committed on a grand scale that horrify the sensibilities of the folk of this day, but were simply accepted or deemed necessary by folk in days more superstitious and unenlightened. Bruner wasn't impressed by this claim. He just handed me another drink. But it seems true to me now, undeniably so, that the life of an individual and the life of a society go in these circles of crisis and peace, and from each we learn, and we become stronger. We become wiser. It occurs to me that the beings we on Faerun call gods might be no more than long-living creatures who have heard the rhyme of Passaison, of yesteryear, so many times that their simple experience allows them to know the future. So ingrained is the inevitable result, perhaps, that they can now hear the echoes of the future instead of merely those of the past. They have the foresight of consequence. They have learned great powers, as a swordsman learns a new attack routine. My own journey nearly ended during this last crisis. Not merely because I might have died, that seems a very common condition, but because what I lost most of all was my grounding in reality. The ground on which I stood became shifting sand, and in that sand I nearly disappeared, and would have. Except that now I have learned to tighten the circles of my life, almost to where I have come to hope that my journey from here on out is a straighter road forward, a path to better epiphany and clearer insight. For the greatest teaching of the monks of the Yellow Rose is the ability to forgive wholly your own shortcomings, to accept your physical being as a vessel to a spirit ever seeking perfection. Such true acceptance of oneself, of limitations and weaknesses and failings, allows one to proceed without becoming hindered by guilt and undue hesitance. To hear the echoes of the past, to anticipate the notes of the future, to stride more boldly, and so, scimitars high, I go boldly. And with a smile. Drizzt Do'Urden.